Hello everyone, hello. This class, this year is dedicated Lili Nishmas, Rachaleya Bas, Reb Chaim Tzvi. Okay, we're in the middle of the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. We're going through the mitzvos and the laws that are intertwined with this, with the laws of Lashon Hara. And Bezer Hashem, a person who we're trying to teach, to learn together, that as a person works on Lashon Hara, it affects so many areas of their Avodas Hashem. The last mitzvah we discussed was mitzvah ches, discussing being careful with the honor, the kavod of a Talmud Chacham and a Zaken, even a Zaken who's not a Talmud Chacham, who's not learned. And we discussed the idea of respecting and appreciating life experience, and a person who's younger should get in the habit of asking advice from somebody older. This applies to everyone, especially to teachers, to mentor, someone who's in a position of influence. It's a very good habit to get into, to train yourself. Speak to somebody older, somebody with life experience. So many times they've experienced it before, and therefore they're better able to deal with the situation, with the question. It's a very, very important idea. All right. Now, back a few classes ago, we skipped Mitzvah Aleph. It's a long topic. At a time, it didn't really fit into this year. So now we're going to go back and do Mitzvah Aleph before we go on to Mitzvah Tes and beyond. So let's go back to Mitzvah Tse Aleph. And we discussed many classes ago that Mitzvah Tse Aleph is a partner, is a twin with Lav Gimel. And this is of course, the psukim about what happened to Miriam. That Miriam spoke some sort of Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, which we'll discuss more in detail in a few minutes, Bezrat Hashem. And she received Saras. She received Saras. And therefore, the Torah has there a special mitzvah. Remember what happened to Miriam. Meaning, don't speak Lashon Hara. And be careful. There's a lav also, which we'll get to as well. Don't do what Miriam did, and which led to the Saras. So that's Mitzvah Aleph and Lav Gimel. And let's now read it inside. Okay, Mitzvah Aleph. Overall, yedei zeh al mitzvah saseh zachor eis asher asa Hashem akechu l'miriam baderech, etc. It's in Dvarim Perakov Dalet. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam when they were in the Midbar. What happened? That Miriam spoke Lashon Hara and then she received Saras. The Chafetz Chaim explains. Shehisirono haTorah. We have to remember what happened to Miriam. Remember what Hashem did to her. Now, Shelo Dibra Ela Be'achia, Asher Ahav Su Kinafsha. She spoke about her brother, whom she loved. Vigilasu Al Birke, and she helped raise Moshe Rabbeinu. Visikna Atzma Latzilu Miriam, and she put herself in danger when she helped save him. By the Nile River. Vihilo Dibra Biganuso. And she didn't really say anything really negative. Elamasha Hishvato So Lishar Navim. She said, Moshe's the same as other Navim. Why is he acting special? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu acting special? Why did he separate from Sipora? Vilo Dibra Bafan of Sheyevosh. And she didn't speak in front of Moshe to embarrass him. In other words, what's happening here is the Chafetz Chaim, quoting the earlier sources, is showing all the mitigating factors. It wasn't such severe Lashon Hara. It was very, 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 very minor Lashon Hara. V'lo b'fnei Rabim was in front of a lot of people. Rak b'no l'vein achia, kadosh b'tzina. It was only to Aaron. He was very kadosh. V'hu lo hikbid al kol adra. Moshe didn't care. Moshe didn't care. Moshe was anav mikol adam. Hayishar Moshe, anav mi'od. So with all the mitigating factors, still, v'af al pichein lo ho iluha kol ma'aseh tovim benensha b'tzaras alza. She still received tzaras, despite all the mitigating factors, and the lack of severity. She was still punished very severely. She received tzaras. Kal v'chomer l'shar b'nei matipshim hamarbim l'daber gedolos v'niflos al chavreim. And Kal v'chomer, the other people who speak so many negative things about their friends, it's a severe punishment. So that's the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to remember what Hashem did to Miriam when they left Mitzrayim. Now, how exactly does that, overlap with Lashon Hara? So the Chafetz Chaim explains it in the footnotes. Let's see the footnote here. Okay. The Chafetz Chaim writes, he's quoting here from the Ramban, Nitztavinu b'zechira, it's in the end of the long first paragraph in footnote Aleph. Nitztavinu b'zechira asma shenase l'miriam, l'hishomer miloshen hara, shul yavuenu kacha ad kan l'shono. We were commanded to remember what happened to Miriam, to be careful to guard ourselves, that we shouldn't come to this, that it shouldn't happen to us as well. That's the language of the Ramban. Oh, so we have to remember what happened to Miriam, that it shouldn't happen to us as well. The Chafetz Chaim explains a little more later on in the footnotes. This is towards the end of footnote Aleph. Here's what he writes. Vim Kain. It's like the last eight to ten lines of the footnote. Memela, Misha medaber lashon hara, o rechilus, vivadai shocheach b'shas maisa, inyan onshal shemerim hanaviyah. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara is forgetting at that moment what happened to Miriam. Te'im lo yishkach, because if you're not forgetting, the yavor, and you're violating anyway, gara harbi, it's much worse. Dehum kumumar lo derba zeh, it's like you're rebelling. If you're thinking about Hashem punished Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara, and I don't care, I'm speaking Lashon Hara anyway, that's worse. That's like you're ignoring what the Torah says totally. The Torah says, and mama's going, that's like a rebellion. So that's not what the average person is doing. The average person who speaks Lashon Hara is not thinking about what Hashem did to Miriam. That's the violation of this mitzvah saseh. Remember what Hashem did to Miriam, to not come to speak Lashon Hara, which would bring you to get the tzaras. And therefore, for over a Ramban, and therefore, when according to the Ramban, you violate this mitzvah. So that's the idea. If a person speaks Lashon Hara, then during that time, they're not really thinking about what Hashem did to Miriam. And therefore, they're forgetting it. And that's violating mitzvah saseh, to remember what Hashem did to Miriam when you left in the Midbar. Well, this, we mentioned, this is a partner to Lav Gimel. Turn back to Lav Gimel. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, V'over Nami, you also violate the Pasuk, Hishomer b'nega hatzaras, lishmor ma'od, v'lasos. Be careful regarding nega tzaras, u'pershu b'sifri, Demash akasva haTorah lishmor ma'od. Be very careful. Hakavana shelo lishkoach miluzaher miloshin hara shelo tovo alecha hatzaras ayde siparaze. Be careful not to forget to be careful with lashon hara, so you shouldn't get saras. You see, it's like this. The literal pshat of the pasuk is: be careful regarding the laws of saras. Do whatever the kohen says. If a person has saras, they have to go to the kohen and do what the kohen says and be careful regarding the laws of saras. That's what the psukim mean literally, but Chazal say there's another meaning. Be careful not just regarding the laws of saras. Be careful from doing anything be careful from getting saras. Be careful from doing something which will cause you to get saras in the first place. I.e., be careful from speaking Lashon Hara. Don't speak Lashon Hara. So Chazal learned out, Hishamer. Hishamer means to be on guard from, to be careful. In general, in the Torah, the word Hishamer, the word Shamor, refers to the Lotases. On Shabbos, we say Zachor v'Shamor. So Chazal say Zachor refers to the positive mitzvah saseh, and Shamor refers to the Lotases. So too here. The Torah says, Hishomer b'negad saras, be on guard, be careful. Be careful from doing anything which might cause you to get saras in the first place, i.e. don't speak Lashon Hara. So this is mitzvah Aleph and Lav Gimel, that if a person speaks Lashon Hara, they violate the positive, and the mitzvah and the lo taseh regarding what happened to Miriam. Clearly, the person is not focusing on what happened to Miriam. Okay. Now, this, what Chazal say based on Miriam, requires a little further explanation for several reasons. And both actually very important, and both you could actually do a lot more research on. We're going to present one approach to each of these ideas, but there is a tremendous amount of material about this as well. It goes as follows. See, Chazal talk about, and the Chafetz Chaim quotes the mitigating factors that it was that she was speaking. She loved Moshe, and she wasn't only speaking negatively. She just said, "Why is he better than other Nevi'im?" And she didn't embarrass him, and she raised him, and she spoke only to Aaron. Yeah, but still, she was speaking about Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the worst. You're speaking something negative about the greatest person of all time. The person who was closest to Hashem of anyone ever in history. So, how exactly do Chazal use this Maisa of Miriam as a paradigm, as an example, as a model for us? Don't speak Lashon Hara. Look who Miriam was talking about. It's true that the actual words of the Lashon Hara were the actual comments and the overall picture. There were mitigating factors. But she's discussing Moshe Rabbeinu. This is an interesting question, which the Mefarshim discuss. So I just want to share with you the approach of Rav Nevensaal Shlita in his writings, in his Sichos to Shmos. To Vayikra. The Sichos to Shmos. It's in the source sheet. Source number 2. So he writes as follows. Now it's like this. First of all, Rav Nevensaal Sichot, you should know, Rav Nevensaal has published Sichot on all the Chumash, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Pemidvar Dvarim, and he has Sichot published on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. A 7 Svarim of Sichot. They're Musar and Hashkafa, very beautiful, deep ideas. It's good to know when they published Dvarim, so they finished the Chumash, there is an index in the back of Devarim. It's tremendous. Rav Nevensaal in his Sichot really has discussed and in depth almost every famous topic in Hashkafa, in Musar. And if you want to develop a topic well, like I did when I wanted to prepare this year, I go to the end of Devarim, to the index, and you find so much in so many sources. So if you have these 7 Sfarim, this is an expensive piece of advice, okay? If you have these 7 Sfarim, and you have, especially Devarim, you can have a Dvar Torah and a deeper insight into so many areas of Chazal and Hashkafa and Musar. It's a tremendous thing. The index to Cheokei is tremendous. That's how I found this. That in the index to Cheokei, I looked up Lashon Hara, and there are different sections that he speaks about Lashon Hara. So Nevensaal writes as follows. He talks about a similar question that, you know, in the Torah, the story of what Miriam's Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned next to Chet HaMeraglim. So Rashi quotes, how come the Torah puts the Chet of Miriam next to the Chet of Chet HaMeraglim? So Rashi writes, Kevan Shemeraglim, Hayut Tzrichim Lilmod Lekach Mion Shashel Miriam. The Meraglim should have learned a lesson from Miriam. And they should have been careful not to speak about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's Rashi quotes that Medrash. That how come the Torah puts the story of Miriam at the end, right before the Chet of Meraglim in the Torah? Oh, because the Meraglim should have learned from Miriam to not speak Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Okay, for the Chora, Rav Nevensaal writes, how can you make a comparison? Miriam chata keneged Moshe Rabbeinu. Adam shehashem medaberimo pel peh. Avi kol anavi, shayu v'shayiyu, the greatest person, the greatest Navi. Hameraglim dibu b'sach kol ha'adama. They spoke about land. Now, Eretz Yisrael is a very special land, but Lemaisa, they're speaking about land. So how can Chazal make that comparison? The question Rav Nevensaal asks on Rashi there, on Chazal, that Rashi's quoting, is basically the same question we're asking now. Omnam adama kedosha, adama miyuchedet, abachwe akol, kasher lehashvot, omeim la'adon kol nevim. How can you compare land to the greatest Navi? Oh, keitzad yachol limon musar mimaisi Miriam. How can you learn musar from Maisi of Miriam? Oh, hachuvahi, the answer is, Shemeragim hayud tzrichim lamod lilmod b'maisi Miriam es ha'ikaron, the principle. Ein chiluk al mi medabrim ha'ikar hu, this is the key line, kasher ha'peh matchil latzeit mishlitat ha'adam ein leze'od gvul. Once you're not in control of your mouth, then there's no limit. Once you're out of control, you're out of control. Because once your mom is out of, who knows what you can do? You're out of control. Out of control means you're out of control. Terrible. Kasher ha-peh matchil latzeit mishlitat ha-adam, ein l'za ol kful. If Miriam, a Navi, nichshela b'dibor, if she could, almi shal yod nitzna Torah, if she could speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, almi shenitzech et mu'al chayasharis, he's referring here that Chazal say Moshe had a debate with the angels, with the malachim, and he won the debate in order to get to bring the Torah down. That's an interesting discussion in Chazal. They quote the whole episode. The malachim didn't want to give Moshe the Torah. It's too kadosh. And Moshe had to explain why we deserve to get the Torah. Mashma she'ein ma'atzor l'asham chenot nasnu l'dvor. There's no limit. The tongue has freedom. Ve'edzeh, and that they should have learned from Miriam. Be careful. You have to be in control. Because look what happens when you're not in control. Even though what they did may not have been as bad, that's a technicality. They didn't go that far. But the yesod, the principle is, you have to learn to be in control. And from Miriam we learn what happens. You're not in control. That's an issue of, then look what can happen. And that's what happened at the end. And this is by the Meraglim. The Meraglim began speaking about the land and what happened. Visimu. They're stronger than us, which is mamish. That what? Shekav yachol goy haaretz. The goyim chazakim me'akadosh baruch hu chilu v'chas. He quotes the Gemara that eventually they ended up saying, "Yeah, and the land, and it's terrible, and the enemy is stronger than we are." So they began speaking against the land, and they lost control in the end, and they ended up speaking against the Kadosh Baruch Hu mamish. Rachmanu litzlan. And that's what happens when you don't control your dibur. So this is the yesod. We learn from Miriam, we have to be careful to be in control of how we use the koach of dibur. And that's the comparison that Chazal are making. This, there are other approaches as well. It's a very difficult question. That we're learning from Miriam, it doesn't matter the fact that she's speaking about Moshe. It shows she was out of control to a certain degree. That's how Nemetzal explains it. And therefore, we have to learn. That's what happens when you're out in control. You can talk about Moshe. We have to be super careful to not speak Lashon Hara and learn the lesson from Miriam. This is the koach of dibur, that if you have to be in control of the koach of dibur. Okay. I recently heard a wonderful story. It's in the Sfarim. It's about a lot of things. Like this story can be used in many connections about the koach of dibur. It's also a fabulous story about how good, like what gedolim talk about, you know, when they gedolim talk about Torah, but when they're shmuzing, what do they talk about? So the story goes as follows. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal was one of the greatest gedolim in America of the previous generation. Okay. He was known to be very healthy. Very healthy. When he was younger, he said he was thankful he was brought up on a farm. Like an open area, healthy air. He was healthy. He was a swimmer, and he would walk quickly. And there are stories, you know, he'd be walking with the other, like in the summers, they're going together up in the camps. He'd be walking, and he'd be like walking faster. Come on, you know, and keep up. And he was the fastest walker. He was a healthy individual. That's Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, he was known. And as follows, he didn't get very sick until really in his early 80s. The first time that they needed to say Tehillim for him, he was already in his early 80s. When a person gets very sick, lo aleinu, so then what happens is you start saying a Misha Beirach, special Tehillim, and you daven for that person, extra tefillos for the schus of that person. Okay. Now the custom is, when you daven for someone who's sick, you use the mother's name. Use the mother's name. So somehow it stirs up more rachim up in Shemai. So when a person gets an aliyah, let's say to the Torah, so use the father's name. But when you're davening for someone who, Lolenu, was very sick, use the mother's name. So Rabbi Yaakov got sick, and they called Eretz Yisrael. He had a grandson learning in Panovich. And they said, quick, Rabbi Yaakov's sick, say to him for Rabbi Yaakov in yeshiva. Okay. Hang up the phone. So the grandson was nervous, and then he said, oh, wait a second. I don't know my grandfather's mother's name. I never used it before. And somehow back then, the phone system wasn't so good, so they didn't know what to do. So there's boys walking around, Panovich, doesn't look so happy. And he has to tell him for Yaakov. He doesn't know his mother, Yaakov's mother, Rabbi Yaakov's mother's name. So he sees Rav Shach Zatzal, the great god of Rav Shach, Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, almost one of the leaders of Torah Jewry of last generation. And Rav Shach says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Rebbe, I got a phone call. Rabbi Yaakov is not feeling well. I need to say tell him, but I don't know Rabbi Yaakov's mother's name." So Rav Shach said, "Oh, Yaakov ben Etta. I forgot the name. I think Etta." He knew his mother. He so Rav Shach knew Rabbi Yaakov's mother's name. I'm not sure that's really the name, but okay. He said, "Rebbe, how do you know Rabbi Yaakov's mother's name? How do you know his name? Well, he wasn't a Navi." So Rav Shach told the following story. Around 25 years ago, there was the Knesset HaGedolah. All the Gedolim came to Eretz Yisrael. There was a big meeting of the Gedolim, and they came to Eretz Yisrael. So then I was talking with your grandfather, and we decided to exchange names. And I would daven for him to have a healthy, long life, and he would daven for me. For the last 25 years, I've been davening for your grandfather to have a long, healthy life 3 times a day. I know your grandfather's mother's name." Wow. What a story. First of all, it shows you what Gedolim talk about. You know, when Gedolim are, you know, talking about schmoozing, so they exchange names. And Taka, it's interesting. This is interesting. Rav Shach and Rav Yaakov both lived very long lives. Rav Yaakov lived into his 90s. Rav Shach, it's unclear, but apparently he lived even past 100. How old Rav Shach was. What a story. That's what Gedolim talk about. Anyway, that's an example of proper koach of dibur. You're in control. What you use your mouth for? Proper tefillos. So, in contrast to that, the lesson we're supposed to bring to our lives by Miriam is, according to Rav Nevensaal, is to be in control. And that, when Chazal, once you lose control, who knows what will happen? Miriam lost control a little bit, and this was the chait which she did. We have to be careful and not speak lashon hara. We violate this mitzvah and that lav. And the example by the chait of the Meraglim, that what happens when they spoke lashon hara, eventually about Eretz Yisrael, eventually that lack of control, it ended up being against Rachman Ulatzan, against HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Okay, that's very interesting. Topic number one, the whole use of the chait of Miriam as a model for lashon hara. There's another idea, which is, and this is, there's a whole literature on this topic. I'll just mention what the Chafetz Chaim says as a springboard. What exactly was the chait of Miriam? The Chafetz Chaim has a discussion in the footnote where he basically says, we'll see it inside, the chait wasn't really lashon hara. The chait was not being danu kaf schus. Hashem must have told him to do this. She wasn't being danu kaf schus. You see, with the Chafetz Chaim, no, let's read it inside. Look in Klal Gimel, Seif Zion. In Klal Gimel, Seif Zion, we're going to be learning the Chafetz Chaim footnote, Yud Aleph. So here as follows. The Chafetz Chaim is discussing there, judging people favorably. So he says that it's Aser al Pidin, Laduno al Kafchova, and if you've done something to Kafchova and you say something negative about them, so you violate the mitzvah of Bitzedek Tishbara Misecha. Okay. Now look here in the footnote, Yud Aleph. Let's read this carefully. Veraya lizeh mi Miriam. This is the proof of Miriam. Al yedei shelo don telu Moshe Rabbeinu, alav hashom akav schus. Because she didn't judge Moshe favorably, lomar to say mistama kedin asa. He probably did it with the right thing. Masha piresh mi ishto. That he separated from Tzipora. The pasuk views her as mamish speaking lashon hara. Financial zebet saras. Devivare etzel Miriam zahaya aleha ikar haavla. The main aveira was not judging favorably. Ulakach heishiv kadosh baruch hu. Umadur lo yiresim ledaber. To il lo haya Moshe zakai bazeh. If Moshe wasn't innocent, it would have mutter to say it. Why? To hakivna rak l'kanei le'emes. V'lo chashom v'gnusa shomor sh'rabeinu. Alav ha'shalom. Miriam's intentions were good. She was trying to understand what Moshe was doing. Trying to get to the emes. Asking Aaron to get to the emes. And maybe figuring out how to make things better. Miriam's kavana was basically for Toelis. So the Chafetz Chaim says there in the footnote, this is fascinating. He says there black on white in the footnote that the essential aveira of Miriam wasn't outright black and white Lashon Hara. Had it been true, it wouldn't have been Lashon Hara, because she had good reasons for what she was saying in that case. The aveira was, she didn't judge Moshe favorably. She should have assumed it was okay what he was doing before she started speaking this way. So the essential root of her aveira was Bindana Kafchova, and the Torah, this is how you read what's happening here. The Torah wanted to emphasize how bad that aveira was, so the Torah described what she did as Lashon Hara, even though that wasn't the root of the aveira. That's what the Chafetz Chaim writes. There's an entire literature on this topic. Exactly, do we think it was real Lashon Hara, or it was viewed as Lashon Hara based on you know what happened with not being down to Kapsulis? But just again, what the Chafetz Chaim himself says is that the root, the essence of her aveira was, the Ikar Avla was, not being down to Kapsulis. She should have assumed that Moshe Rabbeinu knew what he was doing. Either Hashem told him, or Moshe, on his own, understood that he had to be Porish Meishto. And because she didn't assume that, and she spoke against Moshe, that was the root of the Aveira, and the Torah views that so severely, it describes it as real Lashon Hara, but it wasn't mamish, real Lashon Hara. I mentioned earlier the Sefer Nesivos Olam, which discusses Nesivos Chaim. We use it a few times in the footnotes, in the source sheets. He has an entire essay on this topic, all the sources back and forth. Do we view what Miriam did as real Lashon Hara? Because our mitzvah Saseh Aleph that we learned, that the Chafetz Chaim discusses, sounds like it's real Lashon Hara. So if that's what it sounds like, until you get to the Chafetz Chaim here in Klal Gimel, footnote Yud Aleph, for sure you think it's Lashon Hara, mamish. Okay. But there are sources here, and the Chafetz Chaim here is very clear. This is a second very interesting nekud about Miriam. Was it mamish real Lashon Hara, or was the root of the Aveira not being Danu Kafsklus, and in order to emphasize the severity, Chazal called it Lashon Hara. The Torah, excuse me, the Torah refers to it as Lashon Hara, and Chazal developed that idea as well. So that's Mitzvah Saseh Aleph with Lav Gimel, the lesson from Miriam, with these two deeper insights, how we use Miriam as our example, our model for Lashon Hara. I should speak of Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest person of all time. And secondly, to what degree is what Miriam spoke really Lashon Hara? Okay, that's Mitzvah Aleph. Let us now continue. Last we did was Mitzvah Ches. Now we're up to Mitzvah Tes. The Chafetz Chaim is pointing out different aveiros, different mitzvahs that are, if a Jew speaks Lashon Hara, they violate this mitzvah as well. So Mitzvah Tes is as follows. There's a mitzvah to show special honor to a Kohen. V'malish Shem Esapru Hu Kohen. If you speak about a Kohen in front of the Kohen, you violate Vikidashto. There's a special mitzvah to sanctify and treat the Kohen in a special way. You have to give a Kohen extra respect. If you speak Lashon Hara about the Kohen and you degrade him, you're certainly not giving him extra honor, but over, and you violate this mitzvah. So certainly, if you speak Lashon Hara about a Kohen, you violate the mitzvah of Vikidashto. This is in the Chumash, in Vayikra Perek Kaf Aleph. Vikidashto, you shall sanctify him, the Kohen. Why? Because he's the one who offers the korbanos. He eats the food in the base of Midrash. He's extra kadosh. Kadosh who? He is kadosh. He works for Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. He is extra kedusha. He has to be treated with extra kavod. Clearly, if you speak Lashon Hara about a Kohen, you're not treating with extra kavod, and you violate this mitzvah. Now, what's interesting is as follows. This is interesting. When we're speaking about people, we don't normally think about, is that person a Kohen or a Levi? We just speak about people. And when you're finding here, this is very subtle, very sensitive. The Chafetz Chaim here is pointing out that when a Jew talks, you have to be thinking about, is this person a Kohen or not? It's an added level of awareness of what's going on around you. Oh, I'm talking to a Kohen now. I have to add an additional level here. All right. Now look here in the footnote. Footnote tests. Chayev Kohen Yisrael Linhog Behen Kavod Harbe. You must treat the Kohen with extra respect. To Lahakti Mosam Lachol Davar Shev Kedusha. Livtoach Batover Rishon. V'chule. To give him the first aliyah, etc. We'll get back to that in a second. V'chuyotu B'zeh Kasef HaRambam Zeyef Mitzvah Shalom. If you embarrass a Kohen, it's worse than embarrassing a regular Jew. Now, the idea here is as follows. This idea of the Kidashto, more commonly, we know of it as when we're comparing the Kohen to another person. They're both in front of us. And there's a special mitzvah to treat the Kohen in a more careful way. For example, You're giving out aliyahs in shul. The Kohen gets the first aliyah. There's a Kohen there with a Levi and Yisrael, Kohen and Yisrael. The Kohen is given more honor. It's time to bench. So very often, if there's a Kohen there who's going to lead the benching, Bima the Mezamein, you ask the Kohen first. Most of the examples that we're familiar with of the mitzvah of a Kidashto is where it's the where how we treat a Kohen in relation to another ordinary Jew, a Yisrael. Here we find that there's a special mitzvah by himself, just the Kohen vis-a-vis himself, to treat him with extra respect, extra carefully, and that's what we're discussing here. What's the source for this? Where do we find this idea that even when there's no one else around, even when you're not comparing the Kohen to somebody else, you're just talking to the Kohen, you're dealing with the Kohen directly, where do you find that there's also a special mitzvah seva kidashto there? So the Chafetz Chaim doesn't quote this here, but I saw the other Sfarim do quote it. It's in the Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Ramah. In Or Chaim, it's in the source sheets. Source number one. There's an isser to make improper use of a Kohen. And this Ramah is the source for this idea. The Ramah is quoting the earlier Rishonim that one has to be careful not just how we treat a Kohen vis-a-vis others, but how we treat a Kohen just with himself. Let's read it inside, then we'll discuss it further. Source number one. This is the Ramah in Or Chaim, the end of Siman Kuf Kafches. Aser lishamesh b'kohen afilu b'zman hazeh. It's aser to use a Kohen even nowadays. I mean, even nowadays when a Kohen's not working in the Beis HaMikdash, so you may have thought that now the Kohen's like a regular person. No. Kohen still has a special Kedusha. To have a Kamol b'hekesh, it's like you're using Hekesh improperly. Im lo machal al-kach, unless the Kohen's mochel. Unless the Kohen says, I don't care, you're not allowed to make improper use of a Kohen. So what do you see here? There's no one else around. It's not a question of using a Kohen instead of somebody else. Giving the Kohen the first aliyah or the Yisrael the first aliyah. No. You can't make improper use of a Kohen. This halacha that the Ramah quotes in the earlier Rishonim from the Mordechai and others, this is our example here, that you have to treat a Kohen in an extra careful way just vis-a-vis the Kohen himself. Just to develop this further, so here in source number three, Rav Neustadt, Rav Daniel Neustadt has a set of Sfarim, the weekly halacha discussion, the monthly halacha discussion, the daily halacha discussion, fabulous svarim. He discusses the halacha gemaisa topics very clear. He discusses very clearly with excellent footnotes. So he has an essay here in his book. It's page 181, 183, where he discusses improper use of a Kohen. We'll just read some of the examples he has here. He says here, source number three, the second half of the obligation to honor a Kohen is the prohibition against having him perform services for the benefit of a Yisrael. It is forbidden to ask a Kohen to serve a Yisrael or to send him on an errand. Even if a Kohen waives his status, this should not be done l'chachila. And certainly, the Yisrael should never ask a Kohen to perform a lowly task for him, like emptying the garbage, etc. And this he quotes in source 15 from the Mishnah Berurah that we just learned. We just read from the Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if he's mochel, it's mutter. Oh. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, there at the end, De'af al gav, de'kavod yuchal limchol, inyan shel bizoyon, The Mishnah Berurah says if it's pazui, then you should certainly be careful. So you shouldn't ask the coin, take out the garbage for you. Because that's not treating with proper respect. That's what the Rav Neustadt writes here, page 181, source number 3. And he has a whole discussion here. For example, he gives different examples. Then he writes, there are some people who, although generally meticulous in mitzvah observance, are not careful about the treatment of the Kohanim. They're not so careful about asking Kohanim to do things for them. Why? The Poskim offer two possible reasons for their behavior. Number one, now that the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, this mitzvah does not apply, except for those who conduct themselves lifnei mishurat hadin. Some say, it doesn't apply nowadays. That's the view of some Rishonim. Number two, with the passage of time, the lineage and yichas of the Kohanim have become blurred. We're not sure exactly 1,000,000% who the Kohen is. Thus, we're not positive who is a Kohen. That idea is quoted as well. These objections notwithstanding, the majority of the poskim agree that this mitzvah of honoring Kohen applies even nowadays. As we saw earlier, that's what the Ramah says, what the Mishnah Berurah says. And we ought not doubt the purity of the lineage of our Kohanim. He quotes here many, many sources. So this idea that we have to be careful how we treat a Kohen, just vis-a-vis the Kohen, not comparing them to somebody else. So then, that is the source for this idea that there's a mitzvah saseh, treat him with extra respect. And obviously, if you speak Lashon Hara about a Kohen, you're not treating him with extra respect, you're treating him with less respect, and you're violating this mitzvah saseh. So that's mitzvah saseh tests, the mitzvah of treating a Kohen with proper respect. Okay, let's go on. Mitzvah Yeralef. Now here the Chafetz Chaim, again, he's being very broad, mentions another broad Isser as well. V'al kulam over old al mitzvah saseh des Hashem okecha tira. You violate the mitzvah to fear Hashem. She'iz haranu bazeh liro milifnei Hashem yizbarach koi mecheinu. We should always be in fear of Hashem. U'bevol ma'isa liyadeinu. And if an action comes to us, nischayab nu ha'iras ruchenu, we should stir our spirits. Boso aperek, at that moment, shakadosh baruch hu mashkiach b'chol ma'aseh b'nei adam, Hashem watches of whatever we do. V'yashli v'nokim k'firo ha'maseh, and a person receives reward and punishment for his actions. V'al yidezeh yimana me'lav or al das kono, and therefore a person will be careful not to do the aveira. U'bevadai, misha mafkiras nafsho levan achamru azeh, a person who speaks Lashon Hara violates this mitzvah. There's a special mitzvah to be in fear of Hashem at all times. And if you speak Lashon Hara, you're clearly not in fear of Hashem. And again, there's a special mitzvah. This mitzvah of being in fear of Hashem means that if an Aveira comes to us, we should be careful and stir up our hearts and think about the mitzvah to fear Hashem and not do the Aveira. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this in the footnotes from the Sefer HaChinuch. Look here in footnote Yud Aleph. Shezel Lashon HaChinuch b'mitzvahs Taf Lamed Beis. Mitzvah Tamidis. It's a constant mitzvah. Shelo Yivsach Me'al Adam. Afilu Rege Echad. You shouldn't stop even for 1 minute. U'mi Shabbat Dvar Ve'er U'yado. Chayv U'har Res Rucho. That's what you quote from the Chinuch. At that time. And he quotes V'chein Isa B'smak. Fear of Hashem means to not violate Hashem's commandments. Oh, that's the chinuch. I wanted to read this inside with you. The chinuch itself, this is source number 2 in the source sheet. This is the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, mitzvah Tov Lamed Beis. Let's read inside the Sefer HaChinuch. Mitzvah Yiras Hashem. Lios Yiras Hashem al paneinu tamid levilti nechata. We should always have mitzvahs Yir Hashem and not to do an Aveira. Shenira bias ancho. We should have fear of the punishment. We should be in fear of Hashem. Shoresh ha-mitzvah. B'yiras Hashem niglil kol ra'i shemesh. The reason for the mitzvah, the Sefer HaChinuch always gives the reasons for mitzvah. It says here the reason that is obvious. Ki ha-shmira ha-gedola min ha-chei tu yiras ancho. The best way to guard from doing a sin is to be in fear of the punishment. It's the simplest, most basic way of being in fear of Hashem, a fear of a chait, is to fear the punishment. Oh. Now, he writes, It applies at all times. The chinuch goes as follows. The chinuch always has four parts of the mitzvah. First, he quotes the mitzvah itself, and the pasuk where the mitzvah comes from. Then the chinuch quotes the reason for the mitzvah. He calls it the shorish of the mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah, the basic reason behind the mitzvah. Then the chinuch often has the dinei ha-mitzvah, a basic summary of the halachos of the mitzvah. And the last section of the chinuch, he talks about when the mitzvah applies, to whom the mitzvah applies, does it apply to men, to women, to kohanim, to Yisraelim, to whom it applies and when, bisman the beis hamikdash, not bisman the beis hamikdash. Okay, here the chinuch says, this mitzvah applies to all people at all times. Mitzvah tamidis. It's one of the constant mitzvos. This is what the Chafetz Chaim quoted. Hashem's watching over us. But over all that, and if someone violates this, he doesn't think about it at those times. You violate this mitzvah say? Or kol yimei adam v'chol yitosav b'chal mitzvah lo mazaris b'nizkar leah. See, you always have to have this in mind, but there's a special focus for this mitzvah when an avera comes, when an avera is about to be, a person might do an avera, chamano litzchan. So this mitzvah is a mitzvah to midis, to always fear Hashem. And there's a special focus of the mitzvah, which what the chinuch says, there's a special focus of the mitzvah. Zuhi shas kiyumasei bekivun. There's a special focus. If you're about to do an avera, think about this and fear of Hashem and not to the avera. So the Chafetz Chaim writes that if a person violates the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, if a person violates Lashon Hara, he violates the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem as well. That's mitzvah Yud Aleph. Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. You see the chinuch, it makes a lot of sense. I had a question about this, and with this we'll close. I had a question about this. There's also a mitzvah tamidis to love Hashem at all times. Avas Hashem. L'chora, a person who's focused on Avas Hashem is not going to do aveiros against what Hashem wants. You love Hashem, you're not going to go against what He says. And l'chora, it seemed to me, I didn't see this in the footnotes, I didn't see anyone ask this question. L'chora, the way the Chafetz Chaim is reading the chinuch and the way he's analyzing the chinuch, l'chora, if a person violates Lashon Hara, they're also probably violating Avas Hashem as well. So I asked Rav Nevin Sol Shlito, and he said, it was a good question. He didn't have an answer. He thought that Pashup Shad you would. So that's interesting. So we have a list of 31, and now we can maybe have an asterisk for 32. That's an interesting question, that if the Chafetz Chaim includes the mitzvah of Yiras Hashem, regarding Lashon Hara, L'chora, it should follow the mitzvah of Avas Hashem as well. But it's not mentioned, and again, I didn't see it discussed, that the Chafetz Chaim doesn't mention that mitzvah in his list of 30 mitzvahs and aveiros. So today, really, we saw three mitzvahs. We saw mitzvah Aleph, mitzvah Tes, and mitzvah Yud Aleph. We discussed at length mitzvah Aleph, the mitzvah of remember what Hashem did to Miriam. And this mitzvah is a partner with Lav Gimel, that be careful to avoid doing anything which brings you to tzaras. That when a person speaks Lashon Hara, they're forgetting what Hashem did to Miriam. They're not being careful regarding what Hashem did to Miriam. And that's a mitzvah saseh and a lav that one violates when they speak Lashon Hara. Then, I quoted from Rav Nevensol and others, that the use of Miriam as an example is interesting, because Miriam's Lashon Hara was very severe, apparently. It was about Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you use that as an example for what we do in our own lives? So the answer of Nevensol gave is that Chazal used Miriam as an example, as a paradigm of what it means when you're not in control, then it ends up being there's no limit. You learn from me, you have to be in control of your mouth. If you're not in control of your mouth, it could lead to the worst Lashon Hara, it could lead to tzaras. Rav Nevensol quoted from Rashi by Chet Meraglim, and Taka, the Meraglim, they end up speaking terribly against Hashem Rachman Litzlan. That was one idea. And then we told a story about the proper koach of Dibur, a beautiful story with Rav Shach Zatzal and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, about the proper koach of Dibur. And the second fascinating point about Miriam is that the Chafetz Chaim writes, we saw in the footnote, that it wasn't in essence Lashon Hara. It was essentially not being done of Kaf's Chulis. That was the root of the Aveira. And had it been true, it wouldn't have been me a Lashon Hara. Fascinating topic. There's a whole literature on that. Another angle on what happened with Miriam. Mitzvah tes, about treating Kohanim with respect. Special mitzvah to treat Kohanim with respect. If you speak Lashon Hara against the Kohen, you're clearly not treating with the respect. That extra respect. And we discussed that the Chiddush here, that the Chofetz Chaim is applying, that doesn't only apply when you're comparing a Kohen to a Yisrael. Give the Kohen the first Aliyah. Let the Kohen lead the Zimun. It applies directly to the Kohen himself. You can't treat the Kohen in a disrespectful way. No one else is around. You can't do that. And speaking Lashon Hara is an example of that, that the Ramah quotes. You can't make improper use of a Kohen. Finally, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, this Mitzvah Tmidus of the Sefer HaChinuch, want us to be in fear of Hashem at all times, and especially when an Avera comes to mind. A person might do an Avera, Chas V'Shalom, they should stop. Think about the fear of Hashem and not do the Avera. And when one speaks Lashon Hara, they violate that as well. And just the question at the end, according to that approach, what about the Mitzvah Avas Hashem? That I don't have an answer for right now. That's an interesting question for thought. Would one violate Mitzvah Avas Hashem if one speaks Lashon Hara? Okay, we'll stop here.